welcome into this edition of the Golf Show Podcast with Rex and Lab. Happy Pebble Beach Week. It is indisputably, Rex, one of my favorite weeks on the entire PGA Tour schedule. A great event, a great field on one of the most iconic golf courses, not just in the United States, but in all the world. What has you most excited for Pebble Week?
I think we had this conversation last year, at least me, you, and our colleague Doug Ferguson, the AP golf writer. I said, I think I tweeted this, put it on the X machine, that the best fortnight in golf is the Scottish Open and the Open Championship. It depends on where the Open Championship is. And I'm not trying to argue that Renaissance Club is one of the best links courses in the world, but just being in that area. I would never do that. I'm not even quite sure it's one of the best in East Lothian. I'm sorry. I don't mean to take a shot at anyone here. But you can make the same argument that this is the best fortnight. And I think that's probably a better argument, if I'm being honest. Between Pebble Beach this week, Riviera next week, I love everything about this week. And it's just not the views. I am in the Northeast right now. I woke up this morning in my hotel in Stamford, Connecticut. Didn't realize where everyone was walking around slowly and driving slowly. Apparently, the roads are covered with ice. And I didn't know it. I just tooted along, did my own little thing, not paying attention. Like, oh, I guess it's a problem. Seeing those views this week, and it's going to be a little bit Crosby weather, so it's going to be a little nasty, but still seeing the views, being warm, being in that part of the world. I love everything about the golf course. I love everything about the tradition. It's really a cool week for me.
Yeah, I love the West Coast swing. I think it's actually the best part of the schedule, which is a whole different discussion of should you have the best part of the PGA Tour schedule at the beginning of the year, or should you try to maximize that in the summer? We talked about that with Aaron Oberholzer. I know you've had a couple guests on Golf Today this week who have differing opinions on that, but I'm with you. I mean, this is incredible theater, a great golf course. I loved the fact a couple years ago that they made this an elevated event, a signature event on the PGA Tour to try and bring all of the best players together on one of the most iconic venues. I think this one was an absolute smash. I'm a little disappointed though, Rex. So the weather in Pebble Beach was nasty on Tuesday. I just checked weather.com. They have a gale warning on Wednesday. I'm not even sure they're going to be able to practice in these conditions with 35 to 40 mile an hour gusts, which are anticipated. Remember when you and I played there a couple years ago as part of the USGA Media Day for the US Women's Open that was headed there? It was like upper 40s. It was blowing. Everyone was completely miserable except this guy. I played great. I shot 77, one of the best ball striking rounds of my life in just absolutely terrible conditions. That's what we are going to get in the run-up to the AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am. During the actual tournament, though, looks okay. Overcast, partly cloudy, temperatures in the 50s, light breeze, although Sunday certainly looks rainy.
And it's going to be nasty. Todd Lewis came on yesterday and did a weather report, which it must make Berko, our colleague, just absolutely crazy, because he needs to be there when the weather... Berko is, let's face it, our Jim Cantore here at Golf Channel. But to your point, and anyone who watched the podcast on Monday and saw our interview with AO, I think the question was, looking ahead to 2027 and beyond on the PGA Tour, the idea being you want to play the best events on the best courses during the best time of year. And a really good argument, based on today's forecast, could be made that Pebble Beach would be better in July or August towards the end of the season. Imagine if the playoff events rotated between some West Coast venues. Suddenly you're talking about Riviera and Pebble Beach hosting a playoff event in primetime. That would be really cool. AO was all for that. He pointed out the conditions in July and August are so much better. The golf courses play firm, especially at Pebble Beach, where you would take small targets to begin with and make them even smaller because of the degree of difficulty. However, as you pointed out, I was a little surprised. We had Roger Maltby on Golf Today this week. We had John Cook for a past chat, Champs Chat. We had Peter Jacobson also for a past Champs Chat. And all three of them said the same thing, that no, it needs to stay where it is. Pebble Beach in February, it comes with the weather. It comes with the Crosby weather. It comes with the clam bake.
But you can get that in June, July, and August too.
I know. I'm not saying that one's right and one's wrong. I'm saying that there is no one consensus on this. I love the idea of playing these events during the best time of year. And again, in prime time, imagine the Tour Championship rotating between Pebble and Riviera and Torrey Pines even. It would be really cool in my mind. But there is also some history, some tradition. The idea being that now that I've had a couple of days to think about it, imagine if last week at the, you know, WM Phoenix Open, where you were as the reporter, was our opening week. This was our big rollout. no brainer. It would be really cool. And there's some problems, and we can get into what happened in Phoenix. And certainly on Sunday afternoon, there was a bit of a rowdy crowd. I sort of gave it to the Thunderbirds that they didn't go overboard. They didn't sort of try to dumb down the fun after what happened in 2024, which wasn't good. I get the history of it. I think you're right. I think the West Coast Swing is the best coast swing, but it would still be really cool to see these same venues later in the year.
Yeah, I don't care when you play it, as long as you play it. Like, I think Pebble Beach is that special. I think the idea of bringing a signature event to Pebble Beach was just such a home run. I do think from a strategy standpoint, the golf course just plays so much different in the summer than it does in February. That just owing to the conditions. The greens are going to be softer. The rough obviously is lush, but it's still, I think the slowness of the golf course makes it so even with thick rough, you know, it's not necessarily a hack out situation. Then you're all of a sudden scrambling. You're still able to piece together a score. And that's why you've seen the scores, the winning scores at this tournament be so good. Whereas in June, July, and August, you can get some firm and fast conditions. You can also couple that with some rough. You're never going to have, you know, hellacious scores barring some sort of terrible weather, because the golf course, at least by modern standards, is short, playing under 7,000 yards. So you are going to get that thing. Gary Woodland was mid-teens under par when he won the U.S. Open there in 2019 as well. And so I think from a strategy standpoint, the golf course plays better in the summer, which is why I'd like to see it highlighted then. Again, I think it's almost more logistical issues of will a resort course, the resort course in the United States, will they give up the golf course to get it prepped for, let's call it, a playoff event on the PGA Tour, maybe even the Tour Championship? Will they surrender 4 to 6 weeks of their high point in the season with all the tourist money that they have pouring in? Probably not. Maybe not. Maybe the tour can make them such an offer. Maybe the finances can work in that direction. I'm a little bit skeptical of that. I'm a little bit dubious of that. But I do think if you were trying to make Pebble Beach highlighted best in the PGA Tour schedule, you'd put it in the summer just from a strategy and how the golf course plays.
And to your point about rough versus no rough, keep in mind, this is also an amateur week. Amateurs play three of the four rounds. They have to keep the greens slower. They have to keep the same pin positions each of the three rounds to start the tournament. They have to keep the rough lower. So that factors into at least the scoring options as well. And this got brought up on Golf Today this week about the idea that Pebble Beach probably doesn't want to give up its golf course in July and August when they can charge a premium and it's an enormous amount of money. I understand that. I am starting to learn that Brian Rolapp and this administration and Pontevedra, they don't necessarily take no for an answer when it comes to many things. So my guess is they find a way to make Pebble Beach an offer. Don't really want to put it this way, but that they can't refuse. The idea being that, look, we really want to play it this time of year. Let's make this work. And you're right. It's a financial question, and I'm sure they can figure something out.
God, that would be glorious, though, to have the PGA Tour Super Bowl, which is, again, that's what the FedEx Cup playoffs are supposed to be. The Tour Championship is supposed to be the grand finale for the season. I can't think of any venue that would be better suited for that sort of grand finale than to have Tour Championship at Pebble Beach, one of the most iconic courses in the world. Again, in prime time, if you're watching on the East Coast. One of the things that you're undoubtedly going to be talking about on Wednesday's Golf Today is Roy McIlroy's press conference. It was the first time he's met with U.S.-based reporters in a number of months. Most, we haven't seen him really since the Ryder Cup. Has been playing plenty in Europe and overseas. What stood out to you, Rex, about Rory's first press conference with the press when he met on Tuesday afternoon?
What do you think stood out to me?
I think stood out. I mean, there was a number of things to get into. You could talk about.
I agree. No, I agree. Rory getting. What do you think stood out to me?
Changing. He's gone back to the blades after experimenting with the cavity backs. He talked about how he's gotten some good work in with swing coach Michael Bannon over the past couple of days. He talked about some of the momentum that the PGA Tour has, bringing Brooks Koepka back into the fold, Patrick Reed later on this year. He expressed some skepticism, at least for the second time, Rex, at the PGA Tour and that scarcity model, maybe a little bit too condensed. So I think that's something to keep an eye on as well. But no, it was Roy McIlroy's take on the Players' Championship and whether it is deserving of major status. As if you did not see the promotional material that the PGA Tour put out last week while in Phoenix, March is going to be major. Rory says, no, it's fine just the way it is.
I wasn't trying to be coy or smart with you. I think it's pretty obvious. The part that stood out to me, and I would say most people, after last week when the PGA Tour rolled that promo out for the Players, and it's a not so subtle jab that it's time for the Players Championship to become the fifth major, to pull back the curtain a little bit before you and I did the show on Sunday, I think at least from this side of the microphone, me, I did not want to have that conversation. We have that conversation in March every single year. I don't want to have is the Players the fifth major conversation in February. It's not that I don't think it's a decent conversation. I don't think it's a worthy conversation. I just don't want to do it every single month of the year. Let's just save it for that 1 week during the Players Championship, and then we can talk about it. So to roll it out, the week of Phoenix, and they knew what the reaction was going to be, they being the PGA Tour, I think you and I landed in a very similar place on this. It's not going to be the media, certainly not you and I, that decide if it's a major championship. It's not going to be the fans. It's certainly not going to be the PGA Tour, because as I pointed out, for Brian Rolapp to step to a microphone either this week or the week of the Players Championship and just announce it being the fifth major, it sounds very transactional. You're running a business. Of course you want your business to be the biggest show in town. I'm not saying you don't believe it. I'm not saying historically you can't make a good argument for it, but it's not going to land well with the public. My assertion all along is that the only group of people that can do this, if they speak in one voice and very, very clearly, is the players themselves. If every player, specifically a handful of very top players, Rory being one of them, step to the microphone and just say it unequivocally. Just, it is a major championship. Full stop. End of story. And that didn't happen with Rory this week at Pebble Beach. He kind of said the things that he's all said all along. Really good tournament. I love the fact that I've won it twice. It's a great golf course, deepest field, all of those things. Really don't think we need a fifth major. We had Victor Hovland on Golf Today on Tuesday. I kind of asked them the same thing. He knew it was coming. I kind of got the smirk about, oh boy, here we go. Pretty much said the same thing. Really nice. Would love to win it. No, I don't think it's the fifth major. If they're not going to get on board, and look, Brian Rolapp has a trump card to play when it comes to the players these days. They're now equity partners in the tour. And he can make a really good argument that if we make the players the fifth major, find a way to do it, it's only going to help your bottom line because it's going to help the tour's bottom line. If that doesn't resonate right now, nothing is.
Here was what Rory said on Tuesday. Quote, it's the players. It doesn't need to be anything else. I think the players... it's an amazing tournament in its own right. I don't think being classified as a major or not a major makes it any more or any less. I'm still very proud to have won that tournament twice, as I'm sure all the other champions are. It stands on its own without the label, I guess. You mentioned it, Rex. We talked about this on Sunday night, so I don't think we need to necessarily rehash the pros and the cons of this, but I do think the PGA Tour is potentially squandering some of the goodwill that they've built up the last couple of years by force-feeding this take, when I think most people have the reasonable view that the players sort of is what it is. It's a terrific tournament with a very strong field. It is not the strongest field. That happened 5 or 6 years ago, before the fractured landscape, before 15 to 20 of the best players in the world went to live golf. The best field in the world, the strongest field in the world, is still the PGA Championship. Each and every year, it is the PGA Championship, even with those club professionals who are playing in the field. And so I do think, as you mentioned, you use the word transactional, and I think that's a good word for it, because everyone, in my opinion, should be viewing this campaign very skeptically of why this year are we declaring it a major when last year it was not. The PGA Tour doesn't have the authority to make it one, because no one does. There is no organizing body who can just rubber stamp and be like, yep, good argument, we're going to make this a major championship. And so I do think, you mentioned that it was going to be the players who decide, and I do agree with that to some extent. I do think they're trying to use the media as well to bolster the reputation, to get this discourse going, see if there could be some sort of group consensus, group think, where ultimately, okay, you're right, we've heard this enough, and we're just going to elevate the players' championship into a
it's going to wear us down and just finally died. Fine, you're a major. I'm tired of having this conversation. Maybe.
That's the same idea with sports washing and what LIV Golf was trying to do. Now they're just trying to do major washing and just force feed it to you until you eventually just relent and be like, okay, let's just call it a major. I do think from Rory's perspective, it was very interesting where he, you have no worse than the second most important player on the PGA Tour saying, nah, I'm not going to follow along. I'm the defending champion of this tournament, and yet I don't think having won the career Grand Slam, that it still matches up to that level. I think that was an astonishing admission. And if you're PGA Tour AQ, that's a full facepalm moment. Like, we have some serious work to do if at worst our second most important player feels this way.
And I do want to go back to Rory's comments yesterday, and you didn't go through the whole thing, but I don't expect you to, but there was an economy of words that he used, not to just sort of just dump all over the idea that this should be the fifth major as the defending champ, as the most important voice in golf, I would argue right now. He accomplished that in an economy of words. In the same paragraph, however, he also kind of took a dump on the PGA Championship. Somehow the PGA Championship caught astray about, well, it has a better identity, the Players' Championship, than the PGA Championship. I thought that was brilliant.
I don't disagree with that either.
I don't either. Like, I don't know how he pulls that off. I think what he was trying to get to is sort of the point that I made on Sunday's podcast, that if we get to the point that somehow all the players do buy in and it does become the fifth major, I truly believe it would just be additive. It's not going to take away from anything in the ecosystem. It's just now going to be the fifth major. I don't think suddenly the PGA Championship or any of the other majors have to step down. It just is a new reality. But the idea that he was able to do this in one answer, essentially in one breath, to be like, no, nope, I don't like that idea. But I will say this, that thing also has a problem. I love that.
It's not the first time that he has sort of dumped on the PGA Championship. Again, he has won this tournament. He's routinely competitive in this major championship. And I don't necessarily disagree with what Rory's saying. It does lack identity right now. It actually is the strongest feel and with a proper setup. I think most people think that this is a proper golf term. I guess its identity would be, this is a good, stern, fair test against the deepest field in golf. I think that's probably its identity. Rory's point was that if you really want to bolster the reputation, the identity of the PGA Championship, move it back to August, which is where we were 5 or 6 years ago. I don't necessarily love that idea as well, because it seems to run counter to what the PGA Tour is trying to do by condensing this, yes, and trying to get out of the way of football. So that doesn't necessarily work. I also think, Rex, the move for the PGA Championship from May to March has been a home run as well, to have huge events every single month, mm-hmm, from March to August. I like that sort of cadence as well for the PGA Tour schedule. But you're right. He didn't just say the Players' Championship was unworthy of being a major championship. He also said, yeah, the PGA is kind of lost right now as well. I love the dichotomy of those two takes.
I kept thinking of, this is a very old reference, but Seinfeld, back in the day, George Costanza would have Festivus and he would walk in the room and say, I got a problem with all of you people. All of you people I have a problem with. Sit down. I'm going to list my grievances. Here we go. And the other grievance that I felt like, you know, I guess to go back to what interested me about Rory said, and he just sort of touched on this, but I said it yesterday on the show, and I think we're going to get more and more of this as the weeks go by. This is the first signature event of the season. So 9 of the next 14 weeks will either be a signature event or a major championship. We're going to get a taste of what a condensed schedule actually looks like. And my guess is players are not going to necessarily like it. Victor Hovland sort of danced around it yesterday and said he's looking forward to it and hope his game peaks. My guess is Victor Hovland and the rest of the PGA Tour will be singing a different tune 14 weeks from now when they get out the other side of this and they still have a lot of golf to play and they're trying to exhale and figure out, when can I take a break? When can I actually just take a breath and relax? Because that's not going to come for a long time now.
Yeah, I do think that that's the biggest issue as it relates to a potentially condensed schedule. And again, we're expecting to hear more, at least a peek behind the curtain during the Players' Championship, which again is in 5 weeks from now. At least start to understand what this is going to look like. I think most importantly, why it's going to look like. You mentioned the 9 of 14 weeks. That's not too dissimilar, of course, from what we had last year. The lone addition would be the new signature event at Trump Doral at the end of August, which is a new event on the PGA Tour schedule. So that's one more big event that the big players are going to have one fewer off week, I guess, with all of the commotion with the major championships and the signature events going on. I do think you're going to have to build, Rex, some off weeks into whatever this condensed PGA Tour schedule is going to be. You know, the comp where it's logical to go is the NFL, where Brian Rolup is coming from. But that's not a great example. During the week of NFL games, those guys are going through motions. There's walkthroughs. There's film studies. There's rest and recovery and treatment. Players are missing events They're missing games because of injuries as well. You really can't do that on the PGA Tour. It's hard work hitting all those balls from Monday to Wednesday, getting tournament prepped, getting sharp, having them the 72 holes of competition, the stress. It's not a 60-minute game. And so I don't necessarily, that's like one of the things I think the PGA Tour is really going to have to work out. Because yeah, it sounds great to just cut all the fat from the PGA Tour schedule, only have these 20 events, and yet we're going to be doing them from February through August, mixing in with the major championships as well. I think it's easier said than done. I think it's easier to put on a piece of paper than it actually might be in practice, in reality, with just some of the time off and the complications of having a physical, competitive, travel-heavy sport like golf.
And we've talked about this. The concept right now is maybe you take the week after every major off. That does give players at least a little bit of breathing room. Let's call it, if you get four byes, maybe even five, if the Players' Championship gets a week off afterwards. I'm not quite sure that's in the thinking. There's been some talk about maybe you take the week before a major championship off. So there is the idea that you can work something out. The problem with that is, and I don't know why I took a deep dive the other day on this, but the NFL is going to go to an 18-game schedule. Eventually. Not going to happen next year. It's not going to happen 2 years from now. Probably it won't happen until 2030 when the next collective bargaining agreement goes through. That's only going to push things back a week further. If you completely want to stay out of that shadow, then now you've just given up one more week to the NFL in February. Now you're not starting. If we do start in Phoenix, that's the big opening weekend. Now you're doing it a week later. So you can't make these decisions in a bubble because you have to look down the road and realize the NFL is only expanding. And even if the players don't want it, to your point, the players don't want an 18-game schedule because they know the impact one more game has on their body. And the argument that, oh, we're taking a preseason game away, it's not the same. Like they pointed out, no, man, like it does not have the same wear and tear on the athlete's body that they have here. You can make the exact same argument for golf. And so it's going to walk a fine line. And I do appreciate that Tiger Woods is the voice in that room that I'm sure matters the most. And he, better than anyone else, recognizes that there's an ebb and flow to the PGA Tour season. There's a reason why he won 15 majors, because he knew how to prepare for those four biggest weeks of the year. Somehow, he has to work that concept into whatever the tour schedule is going to look like.
Yeah, and maybe it becomes a situation where there's the core model from February through August in the States, and you can break that up with a bunch of off weeks, and then you also somehow incorporate the best events on the European Tour, or essentially now the Rolex Series events, and that becomes the wider PGA Tour schedule. So you're necessarily, you know, shying away from the football schedule as well. Again, this is all pie in the sky stuff. We're supposed to get, we're expected to get a look behind the curtain at the Players' Championship. Again, this might not even happen in 2027, although that is the intent. Scottie Scheffler, Rex back in the field this week. Siwoo Kim keeping up his great play. Our boy Victor Hovland, who was on your show on Tuesday. Justin Rose won here a couple weeks ago, making his first start since he won at the Farmers Insurance Open. Any other players, any other storylines have your attention before we get out of here?
Tommy Fleetwood. I mean, I cannot wait to see what he does this season. The idea being that, okay, he finally broke through at the Tour Championship. Not only do you get your first PGA Tour victory, but you do it at the absolute perfect time. You also win the FedEx Cup. I think that's a pretty cool conclusion to someone who we can all agree has every piece of the game that you need to be successful on the PGA Tour as a consistent winner. There's no part of his game statistically that you point at and be like, all right, he's good at these two things, but he really has to improve at that thing. The conversation that we had about Chris Goddard, remember that? After he won the Sony? Like, all right, he's got some holes in his game. We don't really have that conversation about Tommy Fleetwood. And everyone keeps saying that it has all the markings of a David Duval situation where he gets that first win and suddenly the floodgates open. I don't know if that's the case, because I do feel like the fields are so much deeper now on a week in and week out basis. You can have Rory or Scotty or Xander or Justin Rose or any of the top players win, or an up and comer like a Chris Goddard or a Michael Thorbjornsson who played well the last couple of weeks. You have so much depth on the PGA Tour now, but I'm really curious to see how he plays this season after what happened last year.
Yeah, that's a good answer as well. I'm so excited. Like, I absolutely love that this is the signature event. I know we shouldn't talk about this is when the PGA Tour season starts, because they've already had four PGA Tour events at this point. To me, this is like the official kickoff point for the PGA Tour season. Rory and Scotty are back for the very first time. It's a full field. No one's missing. Going to have decent-ish weather. Obviously, iconic viewing. It's one of the best PGA Tour events of the season. Positively giddy, Rex, before we get to Thursday morning. We're going to have a jam-packed show on Sunday, recapping, obviously, Pebble Beach. Also, LIV Adelaide, their biggest event, arguably, of the entire season, kicking off this week as well. We're also going to dive into the Charlie Woods committing to Florida State decision. Going to save that for the Sunday show as well. So plenty to get into, plenty to chew on. In the meantime, you guys know the drill, www.golfchannel.com. Be sure to check out Golf Today on Wednesday. Rex, we're doing the show with our pal, Eamon Lynch. In the meantime, thanks for listening. Thanks for the support. Hope you guys have a great rest of your week.